Good morning, and welcome to the 2013 Retail Marketing Virtual Conference and Expo. I'm Joe Keenan, Managing Editor of Retail Online Integration. I'm pleased to welcome you to this session, Merchandising Best Practices for Cross-Channel Retail Brands. This session is being sponsored by MarketLive, an on-demand e-commerce platform and solutions provider. Before we get started, let me review some technical pointers. First, if you have any technical issues, troubleshoot by clicking on the widget at the bottom of the console marked with a question mark, or let us know via the question and answer box. You can also use the Q&A box to submit your questions to today's panelist. We'll be addressing select questions later on, but you can send them in at any time. Please make sure you turn off any pop-up blockers on your computer so that you can utilize all of the features on this console. Check out the Tips for Attendees widget if you'd like to learn more about the console you're viewing on today. And finally, if you'd like to view this session again later, don't forget that we'll be archiving the entire show today. We'll have the on-demand environment up and running for 3 months beginning on Monday, July 22nd. Watch your inbox for more details on that. Joining me today to offer her expert commentary on how your brand can develop a merchandising strategy that will enable it to compete with the giants of the retail industry is Lauren Friedman, the president of the E-Tailing Group, an e-commerce consultancy that has a passion for online customer experience and merchandising. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome Lauren Friedman to get us started.
Thanks, Joe. Well, I'm certainly excited to be here, and as many of you know, if you're familiar with our work, merchandising is really our passion. So our topic and focus is really going to be on those best practices. We're going to share some highlights from our annual merchant survey, which hopefully a lot of you participated in, and then we'll get down to brass tacks and talk a little bit about the merchandising standards as well as the category-centric tactics that are critical for merchants to succeed, I think, in a very, very competitive environment. So let's dig right into the Merchant Speaks research and share some of the highlights. As you will see, this year we were excited that over 145 respondents participated, and I think it's one of the highest number of merchants that participates in any survey. And if you don't, we give really great executive summaries that are more like reports back in return for your participation. You can see that from a demographic perspective, we have a great range of merchants. 24%, 1 in 4, are under 20 million, but yet we have 17% of the folks doing over $1 billion. They sell through a mix of channels, and we have over 32 different product categories and services representative, as well as having both B2B as well and B2C merchants running the gamut across the study. So what did we learn? One of the first questions that we asked is, rate the importance of these initiatives to your strategic goals. And what you can see, of course, and not surprisingly, is that profitability is essential to achieving these strategic goals. What we also found is year over year, we call them like the top five. You've got the customer experience, you know, the customer acquisition. We all need new customers. But on the other hand, we all also want to retain the customers that we have. And also, I think it's great to see that customer service is so high in the mix. I'm a big proponent of that, and it's always been an important part of our own mystery shopping efforts. It might also be interesting to take note of the fact that there's been significant increases seen in improving the KPIs, which I think is also a challenge now, particularly in the mobile world that we're living in, investments in mobile, global, and other web initiatives. And we'll dig a little bit further into that as we move along. Another question that we touched on is, what initiatives are you planning to improve website and cross-channel performance? And here what you can see is on-site search, you know, since we all live in a Google culture, is so critical. Great to see that enhanced on-site merchandising features coming in at 73%, and also redesigns. I mean, those are three of the top initiatives that are planned in the retail community, and email. And I think email has been a bit of a sleeper. I think everybody wrote off email as dead, but we all know how important it is to the success of many of our businesses. So as Joe touched on, you know, how will we compete with some of the larger merchants? So I really wanted to attack that head on. So competing in an Amazon world. And I broke this into, you know, a handful of bullets, and I'm going to touch on some of my favorites today. First and foremost is the understanding of your brand. Who are you? How do you sell? I think it's also a knowledge of the customer and the evolving nature of today's customer. It's about having the relevant assortment. You know, at the end of the day, I'm a former merchant, so product rules. Superior merchandising, I think the execution of your merchandising, and so much of that will be the focus of the latter part of the presentation. Sophisticated marketing strategy, and for some people it's about selling on Amazon and selling against them, so it's a coexistence factor. And then exemplary customer service, because I think customer service can really seal the deal in terms of doing business with people, even sometimes if you have to pay a little bit more. So let's dig in and talk about that. So I think first and foremost, you want to start with superior brand execution. So I included two examples here. The first one is from HSN, who I think has been very, very savvy in terms of being a digital adopter and really embracing a lot of the newer technologies and really being forward-thinking in their approach. Also, on the other hand, you know, you've got a very, very traditional catalog retailer, you know, who's done an excellent job from a specialty store perspective. And I think that's really where the conundrum is going to come into play. You know, going to be a mass merchant, are you going to be a specialty merchant, and what is the point of view that you're going to bring across? But let's think about knowing your customer and what that means. And so I just threw in a few ideas in terms of, I think, what the customer is saying and what they're thinking. You know, do you have more product beyond my selection? Maybe they want to see a few more ideas. While I like to shop at specialty stores, I prefer one-stop shopping. I know I'm a working mother, and you know what? I don't have a lot of time, so I've got to be efficient in terms of the way I approach my shopping behavior. You know, my mobile phone is a great tool in finding the right product at the right price. And I think, you know, we all have to remember as retailers now that the customer now has one more piece of ammunition in terms of, you know, figuring out, you know, is we're doing business with you a good deal? What about free shipping? You know, free shipping is the consumer's favorite. And we've done a lot of research, and we'll be talking a little bit about this later. And I think you need to be thinking, what is your strategy for that? We actually just put a study on gifting into the merchant market. And, you know, of course, what we saw is, you know, conditional free shipping seems to rise to the top in the retail community, but not everybody can afford to offer that. Don't you have any promotions? Nobody, God forbid, nobody wants to pay full price. How soon can I have my order? I think logistics are also taking a hit because, you know, it's the fact that you can have it delivered tomorrow. I was just on a website, my wallet busted on the way home from shop.org, and, you know, I realized that, you know, I need a new one. I know where to go to get it. And, you know, right there was like, you know, how soon till I can have that delivered to me? So, again, it's that pressure on the part of the consumer to get things faster. And can you match Amazon's price? So many people in the research that we see, you know, Amazon is sort of the de facto price checker for a lot of consumers. So then we move kind of back into another area and touch on, you know, thinking about when choosing a location or a way to shop in which to make a purchase, please rank your agreement with each of the following statements. And this is some consumer research that we did on behalf of Local in the latter part of last year and based on just over 1,000 consumers. And what you can see here is the ability to better research products and discern the right price coupled with convenience is core to Internet preferred shopping. 81% strongly or somewhat agree, you know, that they like the fact that they can, you know, research on the Internet. It's very helpful. It's very efficient for them. And the same amount like to comparison shop, making sure they get the best price. And, again, I think convenience, 77%, has always been the number one reason why people shop online. You know, it's that 24/7 factor, and, you know, there's no substitute for that. I mean, there I was, you know, doing a conference call at 10 o'clock at night to Australia and in the background, you know, shopping for the wallet. So, again, that's the nature of the way we all have to function. On another study that we did in conjunction with MyBuys not too long ago in the early part of the year, you know, I wanted to touch on sort of that whole product price conundrum and how the consumer is looking at this. So we asked, generally speaking, how often do you leave a website for the following product or price reasons? And what you can see is all that they leave all the time or often when the shipping charges are too high, 63%. So you really need to be on top of that shipping charges. And I know for the first time this year, one of the things we're going to track in our annual mystery shopping study of 100 retailers is flat rate. It sort of seems in some categories that many people who can't do the free shipping or can only do it once in a while have really moved into that mindset. And I'll be interested to see what the results are for that. The price of the product was too high, almost the same amount of people. So, again, people don't want to pay more than they have to. And, of course, almost 59%, you know, almost in the same range, they just didn't have what I wanted. So, you know, bottom line, you don't have what I want, I'm not going to buy it. from there, we also asked, as part of another connected customer research study we did last year, you know, when thinking about selecting the right product in any given category, how important is each of these elements? And this was a top two performance, you know, based on how critical it was to you in the selection process and very important. So, again, you can see price rears its ugly head. You know, price most informs product selection, though convenience, including home delivery and logistics, also impact selection. And I talked a lot about that, you know, already. 62% want to be able to have it delivered. You know, but then to get it quickly, the ability to get that product within a day or two, 54%. A lot of us need things immediately, and I think that's one of the ways that online retailers have been able to compete, you know, with the store that might be just around the corner. But, of course, we don't want to discount the retail store, and 44%, you know, want to, you know, be able to have the ability to purchase it locally at the store, even though they might be using their phones to set up a buy online and pick up in store to check to see if product is available. In addition to price, which factors of your online shopping experience matter to you most? And I think it's great to see here that product quality tops the list. From there, shipping must be free, so that reinforces the notion that we've already shared. And don't discount the easy return options. I think, you know, for me, I'm a Zappos junkie. Basically, at the end of the day, I like to just put it back in the box, click that button on the website, I'm good to go. So I think it's surprising that more retailers have not really played into this easy return component, but certainly smart labels and other things along those lines. But, you know, ideally, the ability to do it online are very powerful. Which of the following types of promotions would you be most likely to take advantage of when shopping online over the course of the year? So thinking about all the promotions that you might be interested in. And, again, you can see this was a rating scale, so 5 was always taking advantage of it. Free standard shipping without conditions is by far and away the customer's favorite. Of course, if you can't offer that, you know, they'll be happy, you know, to frequently take advantage of a site-wide coupon with money off, so at least they're feeling a little bit better. And then we move on down from there. You know, they'll take advantage, you know, at any given time with many other types of promotions, a limited time promotion for a general product of interest, a particular discount on an offer. Maybe it's a personalized promotion. So there's lots of other ways, and I think I'm also seeing in some of the holiday research that we just actually closed off this morning that those types of range of promotions are being deployed across the board, you know, at different periods of time by different merchants. But remember, at the end of the day, customers are cheapskates. And I thought this was some great research that one of my clients had sent along to me. You know, it's just the fact that when you see this, talks about on the left the number of digital coupon users. And, you know, you can see how high that number is and where that's projected to be. You know, and this is in millions. So, you know, almost 100 million people, you know, have used digital coupons. And then in terms of the frequency which they use the coupons in the U.S. to make a purchase, 20%, 1 in 5, always use them, 43% most of the time, and 26% about half of the time. So the bottom line is they're looking for them, and I think you need to be thinking, you know, how are you going to handle these and how are you going to make them available to your customers. We're not all in a luxury position to sell product full price, though we certainly would like to be. So I think what's interesting is that retailers combat competitors via price matching. So whether it be Best Buy, and there's been a lot in the media with their low price guarantee, you see Toys R Us also messaging to the price guarantee, as well as on Moose Jaw in the bottom talking about their price match. So I think it's not to say that you have to do it, but it should be something that should be on your radar screen that you should be thinking about. Is that part of a strategy, particularly if you're in the commodity business? And, of course, how else can you compete? And that's by knowing, you know, your business model. So whether you're a merchant like a Crate and Barrel who's edited and, you know, wonderful product that's edited and curated for the consumer, or you're like a Rakuten who's taking more of a marketplace approach to the business, you really have to know what you stand for, and your customer has to know what you stand for as well. So one last stat I want to share is you need to deliver superior merchandising. And this was always part of our annual merchant survey. And this year, When we ask merchants to rank 50 features from an ROI perspective, you know, in terms of what delivers the most from that ROI point of view, and you can see that, you know, 5 is very important, 4 is somewhat important. You know, far and away, keyword search has been number one for the last 5 years running. It's interesting to see that product ratings and reviews come up number two. So if you're fighting internally to get product ratings and reviews, they deliver and customers want them. Email remains strong. Free shipping conditional, I think, is something that works very effectively for the retailer. And then we move into some of the rich media tactics like the alternative views. But some of the, you know, standard retail practices of seasonal promotion, what's new, also rank high. And then I think it's interesting to see that mobile cracks the top 10 this year. But this is a great list to have in your hip pocket in terms of convincing some of your senior management in terms of investing in the right merchandising. So speaking of merchandising, let's start with some of the standards that need to be in play that you should always be thinking about. I am going to share some stats as part of this from our annual mystery shopping effort. We'll be gearing up to do another round of 100 merchants this holiday season. These were the 100 that we did in 4Q12, so just so you have some sense of who made the cut. So starting out with search savvy, knowing that keyword search came up number one in terms of merchandising tactics, getting shoppers to the right product fast is essential in today's Google world. You see a lot of drop-down examples, a visual search that you see on the Apple example on the left. I think that's a growing tactic and something that we've seen a lot more in the past year, and we will be measuring that for the first time as well this year too. The example that I show, you know, on Dick's really looks more for an advanced search functionality of, you know, helping to find the right sports bra and maybe some of the metrics that you need to be thinking about. User-generated content engages the customer. I mentioned that that had a number two ranking. So you see two wonderful examples, Giggle, the ratings and reviews, you know, ways to review the site, really trying to encourage their consumers to help us to help their other customers. 91% of the merchants in our mystery shopping had reviews on their site. On the right-hand side, you see more of the Q&A functionality. We tend to see that on some of the more technical products and, you know, other areas as well, sort of merchant-specific as an extension of the reviews that we found on 29% of the site. And there's an example of something that you see as a tab functionality on the Staples product page here. Free shipping is a perennial favorite. It's like beating a dead horse. I'm sure people are so tired of hearing it. I thought this was a great example from Macy's where, you know, you've got 19% only of all the 100 merchants had unconditional free shipping across the board. But I think the way they positioned it, you ask, we delivered, enjoy free shipping every day of the year. And then Petco, I think, you know, taking a more traditional approach to it with conditional-based shipping, and that's something that we saw from 57% of the retailers in our mystery shopping last year. But make sure if you do make that available that you do, in fact, promote that effectively across the site. Another question that we ask, which has always been one of my favorites in a different study, is when viewing a merchant's product page online, how important is the following information when selecting and ultimately purchasing a product? You know, the product page is a very, you know, you don't have a lot of real estate to work with. So I think customers really expect a comprehensive product page experience from imagery through content and social dynamics. The quality of the image is, you know, number one. You know, make sure your photography is strong. You know, number two, the ability to see selected product in the color of your choice. You know, 68% of the people gave that critical or very important. I know when I'm shopping for something like that, I want to see those items. I want to see what the sweater looks like in that color. Those alternative views, you know, I'll go back to my wallet example. I wanted to see the inside of the wallet. I wanted one that fit a cell phone inside. You know, Zoom, again, playing into that need for clarity on the product. And then moving on down from there with product guides, product comparisons, and a range of different other areas that you have a choice as a merchant to deploy. the product page powers must be in play. And so I wanted to include one of the examples from Chico's that came up very, very high in our list. So you can see they have beautiful imagery, you know, in many instances stemming from the catalog. They do incorporate the ratings and reviews. They have wonderful, relevant recommendations to encourage me not only to buy the jacket, but maybe to buy the tank that goes with it, the pants, and, of course, it'd be great if I took some accessory items as well. They're wise in that they offer video as well as alternative views, and they incorporate both together. They have their store locator tied because, of course, so many people still want to try on the product. And then lastly, I think they're smart to include live chat, so if you do have questions, you can get an answer very, very quickly. Details count, starting with those alternative views that I just touched on. 87% of the retails have those. Wanted to show two different categories here. So here's an example from Tumi showing the inside, the range, the holding of that piece of handbag luggage, you know, also the video component. But then you see someone like Newegg who does an amazing job with a gallery of views on the product. You know, some people want to know, where's the port? Does it look light? Does it look heavy? How does it stand up? So, again, there's a lot of approaches. And while you might think it might not be a category where it's critical, it certainly is. Understanding your business direction, merchant selection. So two other approaches to that are things like view in a room, seen on 67% of the retailers where it could be a factor. You see this wonderful example of seeing this desk within the L.O.B. and functionality, and actually viewing it on a model, you know, sunglasses. You know, we all know what a challenge it is to, you know, try on something like sunglasses. So showing it on the face really makes a difference and gives the customer perspective, and that we saw for 68% of the merchants in the mystery shopping. Personalization from the product page to the cart performs, and I'm sure many of you are personalizing. You can see that almost it's universal that there's product page recommendations at the product page level, but 79% are also merchandising these recommendations at the shopping cart level. So, again, be thinking about it, understand your strategy, test a range of approaches. Exemplary customer service becomes paramount to retention. I thought it would be interesting to throw in the stat. You know, 92% of the surveyed retailers rank customer service as most or somewhat important as the number one customer retention vehicle, and that's from our annual merchant survey. So don't downplay the role of customer service. And for many of you who might be coming from the catalog industry, I think, you know, having that all-important guarantee still should play a role and still will resonate in the customer's mind. So now that we've talked about some of the standards, I just want to touch briefly on some of the category-centric merchandising tactics, you know, some that you know, may not be critical for everyone but still should be in consideration. So first and foremost, I would say, you know, video really vaults in importance. You know, we did some research just a couple months ago with Invoto, one of the wonderful vendors in that area. And here one of the things we saw is that profit-minded retailers should take note that 44% of the consumers strongly or somewhat agree that they purchase more product after viewing a related video. The bottom line is there's no substitute for seeing it in action. And Orvis is a great example with one of their products. And you also see it video very heavy in the beauty category as well. So it's that demonstration, that explanation that really guides the consumer. 79% of the retailers already had videos on their product pages, and 44% also made it available a little bit more generically, I think, at the category level. Supporting content sells product. Customers want to be educated, and if you can remember back to some of the earlier slides, that research component really rears its head as the number one thing that customers will be doing online. So you see this example from Blue Nile on the left that gives you more information about purchasing that jewelry and ensuring, you know, that you make the right purchase for your loved one, as well as on wine.com, you know, where, you know, for many of us, purchasing wine is not something that we understand very well, and where a little bit of education goes a long way in terms of, you know, do I want a Cabernet or Syrah, or how am I going to look at that? Again, 67% of the retailers have supporting content. It's not necessary for everyone, but for those where it adds value, I think it's very, very powerful. From the limited time to the seasonal, selling strategies must keep pace. So two examples, you know, especially with everything that's happening with people being aggressive with limited time only promotions, 47% of the retailers in our study deployed those. You see this wonderful example here from, you know, Home Depot with today only. It's very, very aggressive. You see how much money you're saving. And then at more of a seasonal level, because research is so much about that, you know, seasonal themes, 50% of the merchants deploy those. Here's a wonderful example. I saw it over the 4th of July holiday when I was working on this red, white, and blue cast your vote, and obviously hope complimentary shipping, and, you know, hopefully you purchase a few products along the way as well. Evolving a holiday strategy suggests a tactical review from top to bottom. And if you haven't done this already, I would really urge you to relook at your gift center. 78% of the retailers did deploy gift centers. There's lots of wonderful examples. I know we have many that we keep, you know, as part of our mix. This is one that's coming here from Flowers. And then you also see another example on the Best Buy scenario where, you know, what will your gift do for you? You've got the breakout by recipient, the breakout by price point. So there's lots of ways, you know, to make that happen, but it's critical. And you can see the gift card plays a very, very important role during the holiday season. 94% of the retailers in the mystery shopping also offered a gift card as well. So, again, be sure you have those in place and that you really look and look and look and relook at those before you deploy those, you know, in the next few months. Cross-channel integration courts omni-channel customers. And here, while this may not apply to everyone, I think it's becoming even more and more important. 33% of the retailers that we looked at were like Toys R Us and did offer in-store pickup. I think mobile is going to continue to fuel that. And you see in this product lookup from Coach, you know, if I'm going to look at Coach from a wallet idea, you know, I might want to take a look and see, do they have it in the store before I take a trip all the way over there? So, again, keep these in mind, and this important plumbing goes a long way in terms of driving customers to want to do business with you. Social dynamics engage the next generation of shoppers. So, you know, you can see that 100% of the retailers had Facebook pages, links to social network. I like this example on the right from Joanne's where, you know, it was like make creative connections, you know, whether it be on Facebook or Twitter, YouTube, you know, however the customer wants to pin it, send it to Instagram, you know, make that available and give it some visibility on your site. I touched on chat a little bit earlier, but chat really courts a very interesting and desirable shopper segment. Live chat continues to grow in preference among distinct groups of shoppers. We've done lots of research over the years with Bold Chats, and I think it's very, very interesting to see. I was a chat cynic, and now I'm someone who uses chat all the time. 56% of the retailers had chat. Two great examples, you know, one came from Macy's where it was proactive chat. They propped up this need help button. I probably was on the product page a little bit too long. And then also Build, you know, who wants to make it very easy to do business with them because it's a very maybe a complicated product set and many of the customers will have questions. So at the end of the day, I just want to share and touch on our e-tailing group, escalating the customer experience checklist. I know we covered a lot today, and I'm happy to take any questions after that. You know, be clear of your business model, but you need to evolve with the times. You don't want to become a dinosaur. Establish a uniform pricing model and assess whether you will price match, and if you are going to price match, what are your policies going to be? Evaluate your assortment, determining whether you will maintain an edited vision, sort of like the crate and barrel example that I showed, or expand to more of a marketplace model. Does that work for your business? Think profitability as tactics are prioritized and positioned on-site and beyond. You know, you really need to keep that in mind, of course, and I'm sure your management will remind you of that anyway. Align your priorities to meet internal goals, surpassing the competitors and exceeding customer expectations. I think if you go the extra mile, you'll be rewarded. Evaluate a range of merchandising tactics to ensure your company delivers a superior shopping experience. So, you know, think about what tactics can be differentiators. Ensure the standards are in place with superior execution, particularly things like search, but have an emphasis on category centricity because that can really be, I think, a competitive advantage. And lastly, like in any business, monitor the performance and continually strive to differentiate your brand in today's highly competitive environment. And I wish all of you a wonderful holiday season. And, Joe, with that, I'm going to turn things over for any questions.
Great. So thanks, Lauren. A lot of great insight there for us. So we're just about out of time for the session. But with that, I will say that Lauren has graciously agreed to head over to the networking lounge right when we're finished up here. So she'll be in the networking lounge. You can shoot her your questions there, and she'll be able to get back to you. So thanks again to Lauren for that. So on behalf of Retail Online Integration and Market Live, I want to thank everyone again for attending this session. If you're interested in discussing anything that you heard during this presentation, we encourage you to visit the networking lounge to chat live with other session attendees. And as I said, Lauren will be there as well to answer some of your questions. Please also visit the info booth and fill out our show survey to let us know about your experience today. Lastly, remember, if you miss anything from today's event, the entire virtual show will be archived. The on-demand environment will be available for 3 months starting this coming Monday. So thanks, everyone, and have a great day.